I'd like to encourage you to open your Bible again to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter. A few verses we will read several times during our thoughts this morning are Matthew 1, verses 21 through 23, and I'd like to read those for you again. She, obviously referring to Mary, this is Matthew 1, verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You no doubt know that these verses are printed on the very first page of the New Testament. And it would be right to say that we are promised on the very first page of the New Testament the greatest of all possible Christmas gifts. In fact, in these very verses that we have read this year and many more times in the past and in the future, what we have here is God is holding out to us what we most need. These are the two greatest of all Christmas gifts. And what are they? We need the gift of forgiveness. And we need the gift of fellowship with God. And those two gifts are abundantly supplied for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of forgiveness is verse 21. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means the Lord saves, and his mission is to save his people from their sins. And that requires him to meet our greatest need, and that is to be forgiven by God of our sins. But he is not just the God who forgives us and saves us. He is the one who comes to abide with us and commune with us. That's why his name is not only Jesus, but Emmanuel, God with us. So our two greatest needs are forgiveness from God and communion and fellowship with God. And on the very first page of the New Testament, we are promised that these two gifts, these two realities, these two promises are provided for us. And that's our focus for this Christmas Eve Sunday. First, I want us to see the story in which these two wonderful titles and gifts are given to us. And the story begins in Matthew 1, verses 18 and 19. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So far as Joseph was concerned, Mary had committed an act of unfaithfulness. She had committed a terrible sin against himself and had certainly committed a grievous sin against the holy God that Joseph loved and that he thought she loved. It is easy to imagine the betrayal he must have felt, the heartache he must have endured. This was a crushing blow to Joseph. One wonders if perhaps Mary went to Joseph and begged him, saying, "Honey, please trust me. It's not what you think. as she told him the story of how the angel Gabriel had come and visited her and promised that she would give birth to the Messiah, to the Christ, who would come into our world to save us and to forgive us and to rule over us as a king of righteousness. But Joseph could not get past the harsh reality of the facts. He could not believe Mary's explanation. So he resolved in his heart to divorce her quietly. We need to understand that these verses tell us that Joseph and Mary were betrothed, which means they were engaged. But at the same time, in these verses, Joseph and Mary, while betrothed or engaged, are also called husband and wife. And the reason for that was, in the ancient world, to be engaged was as legally binding as marriage itself, without entering into marital joys. And so for Joseph to break off this engagement would require a legal divorce. But Joseph was a just man, the text says. A righteous man, one who loved God and was devout and wanted to do the right thing. And there was absolutely not an ounce of malice in his heart toward Mary. He did not want to ridicule her in public or make a spectacle of her. So he resolved to divorce her away from public view. And that's when God granted righteous Joseph a dream. And we read in verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. What incredible words of comfort. All suspicion was removed from Joseph's mind and heart. He is now free to marry the one he loves. Joseph, don't be afraid. I know you're just. I know you're devout. If you take Mary as your wife, you won't be committing an offense against God. And the reason is because a miracle has occurred. God, the Holy Spirit, has caused this pregnancy. He has bypassed all normal biological laws, and just as creation was spoken into existence by God Himself, the Holy Spirit issued a command, and by His own divine omnipotence, by His almighty power, God, the Holy Spirit, caused a baby instantly to be in the womb of Mary. We believe that. Not because we believe in virgin births. We don't. The ancients didn't. We just believe in one: the miracle conception of Christ by the Holy Spirit. This was the miraculous and miracle working power of God, the Holy Spirit. And not only did the angel tell Joseph about the miraculous conception, but he informed Joseph of the unique ministry this baby would fulfill. When he says in verse 21, you, Joseph, when Mary's baby is born, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then he says to Joseph, it is by the words of the prophets that this happens. You shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. In other words, the angel was saying to Joseph, the two greatest needs of humanity are met and supplied. The forgiveness of sins. He will save his people from their sins. And fellowship and the abiding presence and communion with God. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. But notice he says here, as the prophets have said. What is happening in this miracle and with this mission is that the word of God is being fulfilled. No word of the Lord, no promise, no prophecy of the Lord will ever fail to be fulfilled. Do you believe that? There is a preacher I enjoy reading from time to time, and he sums up the Old Testament with two words, promises made. And the New Testament with two words, promises kept. Imagine that, the Bible in four words. Promises made, promises kept. And here on the first page of the New Testament, God is starting to keep all of His promises. And the reason is because He is almighty, strong enough, able enough to keep His promises and loving enough to want to keep His promises. And God's power and God's love added together is His faithfulness. He never alters a promise His lips have uttered. He never enters into a covenant that He fails to make good. He never falters, never forfeits His word. He is utterly reliable, immutably trustworthy. No one ever trusted God in vain. And this morning, on this Christmas Eve, if you trust Him for forgiveness, and if you trust Him for fellowship, now and forever, your faith in Him will not be in vain. Because He's faithful to keep His word. Oh, I hope you believe that. I hope that if you don't, you'll pray, Holy Spirit, help me to believe. Help me overcome my unbelief to trust this faithful God who is able to forgive and bring me into intimate communion and fellowship with Him. This is the message Joseph is receiving from the angels. Well, how did he respond? In verse 24, we read, when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until he had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph obeyed the heavenly mandate. He took Mary as his wife. He kept her a virgin until after the baby was born. And when he held that infant in his hand, can you imagine that? Your mind just has to wonder. I'm wandering away from my notes right now. He's holding in his hand Emmanuel, who created the world, who will have to suck his thumb later. Who created breath, and who created food, and who created everything, and would have to be taught everything. He's holding Jesus in his hand, and he called him Jesus. Job, the devout man of God, loves Mary and embraces her as his wife. And when the baby's born, he says he's Jesus. And my argument is that baby is the greatest gift this world will ever experience. And He provides for us the gifts that we most desperately need. And one of those gifts is the gift of forgiveness. And so in verse 21 we read, "You shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." It's a crucial sentence. Name Him Jesus. Why name Him Jesus? Ah, because His name, what it means is what His mission is about. His name, Jesus. His mission, He will save His people from their sins. Here's why that matters. In the Scriptures of the Old Testament, God's supreme name, His holy name, is Lord. But in the Old Testament language, it is Jehovah. The eternal God who is self-existent and self-sufficient and glorious in His covenant love. "You shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." And the name Jesus means Jehovah saves. Can you say that 100 times until you never forget it? Jehovah saves. Or the Lord is my salvation. In other words, Joseph and New Testament church, the infant that He's holding in His hand that He names Jesus is Himself God come into our world, Jehovah in our world, to save His people from their sins. And just so you know that I'm not making stuff up, let me read some verses to you from the Old Testament, where it is the sustained practice of the Old Testament to assign the title Savior to God only. You understand how significant that statement is. In the Old Testament, it is the sustained practice to call only God the one who saves. And so we read in Isaiah 43, Even I, the Lord, Jehovah, and apart from me there is no Savior. Hosea 13, you shall acknowledge no other God but me, no Savior except me. There's only one God, and there's only one Savior, and God says that's Him, Jehovah the Lord. And finally, in Isaiah 45, verse 21, there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and Savior, there is none but me. The only one who saves, the only one who forgives and redeems from sin is God Himself. And in this supernaturally infused narrative, in this mind-boggling, beyond the human capacity to fully grasp story, Joseph is holding in his hands Jehovah born into our world to erase our sins, to cast them from His presence as far as the east is from the west, which is an infinite distance, to hurl our sins into the depths of the sea, the prophet says, so that they are beyond retrieving and accountability. He's come to forgive us our sins. Don't take forgiveness for granted. Never be ho-hum about it, because eternity is at stake. My dear friend, your greatest need in this world is in no way physical or material, but it is spiritual. You need forgiveness of your sins. And no matter how much argumentation or frustration is building up inside you, or laughter even when you hear that, you know it's true. And so do I. Because we feel the guilt of conscience. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And on this Christmas Eve, we remember that first Christmas when God said, the greatest gift humanity needs is for me to take away their sin and their love of sinning. And the only way I can do it is go myself in the person of my Son and save them. Our greatest need is forgiveness. But God doesn't leave His people. Once He forgives His people, now does He? The text goes on to say in verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It is hard to explain the virgin birth. I simply state it. It's hard to explain how Emmanuel can be God with us. I can only define it. Jesus as Emmanuel is God. He's God. That's His glory, His majesty. He is God with us. That's His grace, His mercy. He is God with us. That's His incarnation. Without ceasing to be the God He eternally is, Jesus became in His birth something He had never been before, and that is a human. So that Jesus is God in the fullest sense of the word, and He is human in the fullest sense of the word, except without sin. He is the God-man for us and for our deliverance and for our forgiveness and for our eternal hope. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Are you glad God is with you? He's with you every single time in every single circumstance. In fact, I wrote in my devotions this morning a rather long-winded response. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. That means we are unable to escape His presence. He never takes His eyes off of us. Or as someone has said, we live coram Deo, in the conscious presence of God. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us in our struggles, in our temptations, in our failures, in our afflictions, and in every moment of grief. He's with us. Jesus is God with us through the whole of our lives, when we don't sin and when we do, in sweet providences and in bitter providences, in joys and in sorrows, when we're asleep and when we're awake. He is the God who is with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, who will someday bring us into His glorious presence, into that place He has prepared for us, if we trust Him. And Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, right here and right now, in this very place. He is not some distant deity, not some faraway deity, not some unconcerned deity. Jesus Christ is God with us, having forgiven us, entered into a relationship of love and harmony where He keeps us safe and secure in His love, where He guides us and provides for us and rebukes us and loves us and leads us down paths of righteousness for His name's sake, until someday we find ourselves with the God who is with us always. Do you believe this? So here are two questions as I close. Will you receive God's gift of forgiveness? Did you know the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the meaning of His name by dying? Where the Lord Jesus goes to the cross, He was born to save. But the way He would save, the way He would fulfill the meaning of His name, Jesus, is that He would take our sin upon Himself on the cross. He would endure the justice owed us that we might know grace and mercy and forgiveness from Him. In other words, Jesus Christ saved His people from their sins by not saving Himself, but by giving Himself over that we might know redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And will you receive His forgiveness? So free. Lord Jesus, I believe in the weakness of the faith that I have. I trust You even now. And here's a second question. Will you cultivate fellowship with God? And whatever you face and whatever we endure or go through, He is Emmanuel, God with us, ready to be with us every day in sweet, holy relationship. And as we come to His Word and cultivate this knowing of God and this intimacy with God and this fellowship with Him, the deeper our faith becomes. Lord, increase our faith. Deepen our fellowship with You, O Lord. It is Your promise to us on the first page of the New Testament. The two greatest gifts that you will ever need, forgiveness from God and fellowship with God. By faith, open them up and enjoy them today and tomorrow and from everlasting to everlasting. Shall we pray? Father, sometimes I rather foolishly feel like praying again, Lord Jesus, save me. I'm such a sinner. I need forgiveness from You. And I believe. Oh, I believe. Sometimes my faith and our faith is weak and shallow and scarce. But You are a great Savior. And it's not a great faith that saves, it's a great Savior that saves even the weakest of faith. And so we come to You just now, Lord Jesus, and we say, born to save, died to save, Lord Jesus, we believe. And we want to know You and have fellowship with You. We want our faith to increase and become stronger and more robust. Bring us into the sweet fellowship of the holy, joyous God. Bring us to Your Word where faith increases and where fellowship intensifies. Let us unwrap these gifts and enjoy them today and forever. Help us to do that, Lord, and then help us to give this gift to You, my soul, my life, and my all, for Your praise. And in Your name we pray. Amen.